This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this workshop. Our speaker today is Lorraine Brenneman, and she is going to be speaking to us about keeping the vision in a support role. Lorraine has had lots of experience working with various ministries. Working alongside various ministries, she taught school for 6 years. She worked at Bald Eagle Boys Camp for almost 12 years. And currently she's working at Allegheny Boys Camp, where she is office manager. Lorraine told me in June, I think it is, right? She plans to move to Northern Virginia and work in the office of Choice Books. So through all of her experiences working with various ministries, she has came to realize that it can be a struggle to feel a connection to the ministry that we're serving. So today, Lorraine's going to give us some practical ways that we can keep a vision for the ministry that we're serving. So I'll give the time over to Lorraine. Welcome.
Thank you, Dennis, and welcome. Can you see if I stand here? As I scan the crowd, I see that there's people that should be up here talking just as well as me. They have more experience. But I would like to get to know you just a little bit. Who's currently involved in a ministry, like an actual organization? Okay. An office role, domestic, is that kind of probably where we're all at? I see some wives here too. 5 years or more. Is anybody here that's been there for, okay. Just kind of gives me an idea of who I'm talking to. I well remember the day I had started out at Bald Eagle as a cook, and about 7 months in, I switched to doing office work, and I was struggling with finding my niche. An office role is a little bit more hidden at camp. I don't know how many of you are familiar with camps. That's where I'm talking from basically today. An office person is a little bit more hidden of a role than a cook. And I was just struggling to find my place and not being able to relate to the boys as well, and just trying to figure out where my spot was. And there was a particular day, one of the groups was having a rough day. And three of the guys had run away, so the group was like smaller than normal. And I just remember looking out the office window and seeing this group walk past in their smaller state, and the one lonely chief trying to keep it all together. And my heart was stirred to pray for them. And as I shared this later with one of my sisters, I was actually on the phone with her that day at the office, which doesn't happen very often. And she goes, "It sounds like you found your new niche." And that just stuck with me, that my role at camp had switched from maybe being directly involved with the boys to being more of a support to staff and to the direct care staff in enabling them to do what they needed to do. So let's talk about vision a little bit. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." When we feel lacking in purpose and vision, our spirit and enthusiasm die. Some of you that are sitting here probably know what that feels like. Knowing the vision of our ministry and the role in supporting that ministry is so important. It's what enables us to keep doing the paperwork, the cooking, the cleaning, that sort of thing. Do you know the mission statement of the ministry you're involved in? That helps us have the big picture of what we're doing and why we're doing it. One of the first things I did in preparing for this workshop was just sit down and journal about what brought me to camp, what kept me there over the years. It was a good exercise for me. I should have done it years ago, probably. And the story I just related is one of the things that came to mind. But I want you to get to thinking, just to kind of get you thinking about what brought you to the ministry you're involved in. Each of you should have a 3x5 or an index card. At camp, we call them 3x5s. It's a staple at camp. And I would like you to just take a couple minutes and jot down what brought you to the ministry and what keeps you there. Other than God led me. God keeps me there. God hasn't led me on. We all know that that's what brings us to a ministry or keeps us there. But I'd just like for you to take a little bit of time and just think about what about the ministry you're involved in, and if it's not an organization of such, we're all involved in some kind of ministry or teaching or Sunday school teaching, whatever it might be for you. So just take a couple minutes and think about that. So what are some things that you jotted down? I'd like to hear from you. Who's going to be brave to talk first?
One of the things is just the relationships with fellow staff members.
Anybody else?
I went because there was a need and I felt like I could at least learn how to fulfill it. I stay because I can fill that need. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
We were at NYP for a couple of years before we went to Fresh Start. And in the years in between, I remember my husband saying, when he'd come home from work, there's more to life than this. And so I think our burden was just to help reach out to others and help them find freedom in Christ.
Mm-hmm. When your role as cook, secretary, wife, mom, whatever it might be, when it's not directly connected to those that we're reaching out to the vision of the ministry, it's hard to keep that vision alive, isn't it? It's like just paying another bill or, feeding another mouth. It's just hard to do that, to keep that vision. So let's talk about some ideas to keep that vision alive. Most of these ideas are things that have come to me over the years. In the last year since I knew that I was doing this, I've been asking a lot of people who I knew are in a support role and asking for their opinions too. This has been good for me to look at. I felt like I was kind of at a place where I needed to revisit what was the vision that was keeping me at camp. And little did I know when I said this that I would do this, that I was going to be switching organization, but I think it'll be practical for at Choice Books too. The first point that I have, and these are not in order of importance, it's just how they came. Pray. And we might think, that's not important, that's not, but I have found it has helped me stay connected to what's going on. Pray for the circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And no, I don't spend all my day hours praying, but I do pray for the things that come up in a day. At camp, a boy will come to visit. A boy and his family will come to visit, and that's where they decide whether they're going to come to camp or not. And there's been several times as I look back, and I'm like, that boy's not going to come. I just know he's going to decide not to come. And maybe even he's already left and said he's not coming. And I've just started to pray for that boy. And there's one time in particular that I'm thinking about that we were all pretty sure he wasn't going to come. And yeah, he said he wasn't going to come, and they left. And I just started praying for him. And within 45 minutes, he called back and said, yes, he wants to come. And they turned around and came back and finished up the paperwork that was required. When things like that happen, it makes me feel like I am connected and I'm part of this ministry. I do newsletter layout, things like that, graphic design at the office. And I know there's been times where the creativity is just not there. And pray about that. And God supplies the ideas. Just yesterday, actually, I walked into the kitchen to get some lunch, and one cook was pulling out French fries out of the oven, and she says to the other cook, Miss Cheryl, why did you doubt? These fries are perfect. And she goes, oh, it's because I prayed over them. And so, yeah, how many of us have prayed over food, you know, for it to turn out and to get done in time? So those are just some examples. Another thing to pray about is the financial needs. As a secretary, I know if there's money to pay the bills or not. And over the years, especially at Bald Eagle, during some of those first years I was there, it was a struggle to always have the bills paid on time. And there were times that God prompted me to pray. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to known to God. And then also, during one of those times, a verse that came that I discovered was Psalm 37:25, which says, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. And I just remember, you know, God's going to take care of this ministry. He's going to supply our needs. And I could tell you stories that I won't take the time to do, but one time in my devotions, I felt like God was asking me to pray specifically. And that day when I went to work, there was a deficit of $10,000 to pay the bills. I'm like, okay, God, you asked me to pray specifically. I'm going to pray that there's $10,000 in the mail today. Well, $10,000 came in the mail that day to pay the bills. And there's just story after story like that, whereas I see God taking care of camp, that keeps the vision alive for what I'm doing. Another story is several years ago at Bald Eagle, there was a group taking a six-week raft trip down the Mississippi River. And the cook had placed an order with Walmart, and I didn't even think about how much food this was going to be. And she comes home back to camp and is unloading all these groceries. And I said, so what was the amount of your check? And she told me the amount, and I'm just like, we don't have that much in our checking accounts. And then she goes, oh, by the way, I picked up the mail as I was coming past the mailbox, and there's some envelopes there. So I started opening them up, and the envelopes held the exact amount that we needed to cover those checks. So yeah, seeing God supply and answer those prayers is a great inspiration. The other thing is praying for the people in the ministry that your ministry is directed towards. As a secretary at camp, I'm answering the phones, and there's been several conversations that stick out of my mind over the years where I've listened to a mom for 45 minutes, and I don't know what to say to her. I have never been in her shoes, and praying, and at the end she's like, "Oh, you've been such a godsend. You just listen." And so yeah, just praying for those people that you come in contact with, even just if you are directly related or cross paths with somebody who is direct care staff, that's the term I use because that's what we use at camp, and just hearing their stories. When we sit around as an off-duty group and I start to hear the stories of the chiefs, the counselors who work with the boys every day, that does something for me to hear what they're doing and what they're going through. The other thing that I get to do as a secretary is our boys make goals every 4 months, and I get to type their goals and that sort of thing. And there's been times where just seeing some of that stuff has made me realize these boys aren't that much different than me, and just being inspired by the things that they're doing. The other one would be pray for the staff around you. Those in leadership, maybe your boss or your husband or the board of directors, those on the front lines. I didn't ask Steph if I could tell this story. She's sitting in here. She's a family worker's wife. And one time at our ladies get together, she shared that when her husband goes out for what we call parent group meeting, it's a really tough evening for her at home. And I just felt God was prompting me to just go and sit at her house, actually on her front porch, and just pray for that during that evening. I kind of didn't want to do it at first because, oh, that's a dumb idea, and you know how it goes. But I was blessed, and I think she would say she was blessed through that too. And so find ways of doing things like that, that you're directly praying for the people in the front lines. This is a tough one. Get along with your coworkers. I actually hadn't thought of this one, and I should have, because I knew it's true, and somebody pointed this one out to me. But Philippians 4, 1 through 3 has caught my attention lots of times. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord, indeed true companion. I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul thought it was pretty important for these two ladies to get together, or to get along together. And we as women, we have that problem sometimes, whether we want to admit it or not. Not here, that's not my subject, but that's just something I want to encourage us. Get along with those we're working with. That really helps us be excited about our ministry. I know when I feel like I'm not getting along with the people I'm living with or working with, I really don't have a whole lot of enthusiasm for the ministry I'm at. Just recently, us ladies at camp had to work through some relationship issues, and it's not easy. We all know that. But the end result is that I've seen much more peace in our household. I've seen one of the cooks have more enthusiasm for her job, and there's just a difference. It's worth, talking through that and working through those relationships. This one might seem kind of simple after the get along with coworkers, and I don't know if you have an opportunity to go to PR meetings, but this is one that has been very true for me. And yes, we can get tired of going and seeing the same pictures or hearing the director or whoever give the same stories. But I have found that it's been very good for me to sit in a PR meeting and hear what, just be refreshed of what the vision of camp is. Just even talking to supporters. I know there's been people who have come to me and said, oh, I have your prayer card. I pray for you daily. There's a little church about a half hour from camp in West Virginia. It's a little, we call it the Paul Paul Church of God. And they have maybe, 25 people that go to their church. And it's all older people. And they have adopted us as their ministry. And when they make their monthly or weekly stop, whatever it might be, to drop off clothes or food, we all kind of like, Paul Paul Church of God's here again. Just because usually it's, those kind of things. Well, they have several times wanted a group to come and sing for a Sunday evening service. And this past December, it finally suited me to go along to that one of those meetings. And I came away from that and I said, never again am I going to grumble about the 40 boxes of Triscuits that they just gave us or, whatever it might be. Because those people were so excited about camp and so excited about having boys there. Several of their members lost husbands due to illness in the past year, and they were just loving on those boys and just excited, and it just really stirred my heart once again for what we're doing at camp. So if you have that opportunity, go and sit in on a PR meeting. Get involved. And I don't know exactly what your opportunities are, but events outside of your role, your job, get involved. Camp has a fair amount of opportunities like that, and just recently we had what we call a Woodsmanship Festival, and I had lots to do in the office, and I would have just rather have been in the office catching up on work, but took that opportunity to get out, and it was a good day. The other thing is, working at a boys' camp, you can well imagine that us ladies are outnumbered. And so for me, it was finding ways of connecting with the ladies, whether it's Bible study, prayer times, just find ways to keep connected with each other and keep that vision alive. Go beyond the call of duty. The first one is notes of encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. Find ways to jot a note to the person that's on the front line, or even another staff member who you know might be struggling. Hospitality. Romans 12:13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. At camp, I get to host off-duty chiefs that love to eat, and so that's just a way that I can support them and bless them in their role at camp. Words of blessing. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Just trying to build each other up. If we're not feeling good about those we're working with. Trying to find the good in each other helps us keep that vision alive. Current events is another thing. When I realize that there is a need, and somebody mentioned that as something that took them to their ministry, the families in crisis, refugees, human trafficking, realizing that, you know, there is a need. I often think about it with, you know, at boys camp, I go to town and I see teenage guys with their pants hanging low and whatever they might be doing, and I'm like, you know, I probably normally wouldn't just go talk to those boys, but I think nothing about going and talking to the boys at camp. But seeing that in the broken down families that in the public make me realize that camp is a very, very needed mission. This last one, is maybe not just about keeping the vision, but I also wanted to encourage us as ladies in support. I read Philippians 2, and I was just amazed of how much it spoke to us. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and take the time to read it. It's this one's out of the Message. I just like the way it paraphrased it. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. But put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far above anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of the God the Father. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second-guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. There's a lot in there, isn't there, that fits us in a support role. Regarding others more important, I think as a support role, it's easy to feel that we're not as important as the direct care. And that's not true, but just putting others' needs in front of ours, taking the form of a servant. I have a note written by my sister, who's in the back room, or the back of the room, on my computer screen, that says, "Picture what a gracious servant looks like, and then practice being that gracious servant today." Isn't that what being in a support role is all about? is being a servant like Christ. Some days it's not very easy. And without grumbling and disputing, there's more in this passage that I could highlight. I just felt like it was what I needed to hear as somebody in a support role. Is there anything that stood out to you in that scripture as I was reading it that just kind of jumped out at you? So what keeps the vision alive for you? I'd like you to consider ways that you can keep the vision in your particular role, in your particular ministry. Those 3x5s, if you filled up the one side, you can flip it around to the other side, or if you need another one, I'm sure Janice can hook you up. But I would like for you to just jot two or three things down that maybe I've triggered your brain about something or in what I've shared here, that you're going to go back and you're going to do, or maybe something you've already been doing, but you're more determined now to make sure you just keep doing that, to keep that vision alive for you. So who wants to share? I want to hear. I want new ideas too, so I'd like to hear from y'all what has worked for you. What are some things you're going to take back with you? Yeah, who wants to share? I reread the description of this workshop, and it said you're supposed to become prepared to interact. So I'm hoping you're ready to do that, because I do want to hear your ideas.
I was struck with getting involved. We were in a setting where I didn't have to look for opportunities. I just went from pretty much one thing to the other. And moving back home here now in September, and I am doing like behind the scenes secretary work for my husband with his ministry, but I'm not quite as involved in things, and it gave me determination to be just make an effort and not just wait for opportunities to come my way. Yeah, I can fill my days with being busy, but even to the neighbors and things like that, to get more involved.
Good. Who else?
The importance of prayer. Very important.
That's a huge
everything
one. As we take it for granted. Sometimes we don't realize maybe we should be praying for something, but yeah. Keeping your ears tuned for that.
I really like that idea about journaling, to find purpose in like what I'm doing, to journal about like, okay, so why am I here? What is my purpose for doing the things that I'm doing? I really like that idea.
It causes us to stop and think rather than just doing the normal day-to-day routine.
I was thinking about being an encourager. I know what encouragement does to me when somebody expresses something that encourages me, and so I want to be on the lookout more for ways I can encourage others.
Who else? Maybe somebody has an idea that I didn't hit on. I'd love to hear that too.
Another one I was struck with is to put our energy where the Lord wants us to, like getting along with co-workers or our husbands or people in the church. It is definitely an energy drain when there's something where we're dwelling on negative things, and it may be determined anew to end captive for Christ in every action.
That's a lofty goal, but a good one.
I think along with going to the PR meetings, it's good to know the history of the organization, the ministry, don't know, that just reinforces why I'm there. It's refreshing to hear what God has been doing in the past.
That is a good one. I like that. Allegheny's been going for about 5 years now, and so we're at the point where there's staff who have not been there the first years of camp and don't know those stories of the struggle that first year, or, you know, the living quarters that we had to live in, or, you know, of how God gave us that property, or, you know, hearing those stories is a good way of being connected to the ministry. That's a good one. I like that. Anybody else?
I really like the idea of doing everything I do as unto the Lord, like purposefully choosing to serve, like, Lord, I'm doing this for you.
I think that's key. And I probably didn't stay on that long enough, but realizing that what I'm doing is just as important as the direct care staff person. Because I'm doing it to the Lord. We're both serving the Lord. And that takes me right to what I would like to leave with you all. Is there anybody else that wanted to say anything? I don't want to cut anybody off. This is a verse that it's kind of our staff mission or staff goal this year. Is the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." And maybe this isn't really about keeping the vision, but as ladies in a support role, I know how difficult some days it can be. And just doing what seems like nobody else really values or cares about. But knowing that what you're doing for the people around you, you're doing it as unto Jesus. I want you to leave here with a renewed vision and purpose for the task ahead of you. As I was finalizing my outline, I asked Brian, the director at camp, to read over my notes and just make sure I was on track. And he got done reading it, and he's like, "Miss Lorraine, can I do your introduction?" He got all excited, and I'm like, "Why do you want to do my introduction?" And he said, "I would like to tell those ladies of how important your role is." He wants you to know, and I asked him if I could quote him, and he said that I could. He wanted you to know of how much of the big picture, how much of the big picture that you are. And I'm going to just tell you this, not to tip my own horn or anything, but when I moved to Allegheny, I felt the call to help a new camp get started. And I remember back several years ago when we had a camp conference, and I knew that one of the men was going to talk about starting new camps. And I'm like, "I'm not going into that session. That has nothing to do with me. You know, why? I don't even want to go hear this." But boy, my heart was stirred that night. And God spoke to me about starting new camps, and that I can help a new camp get started. And so in this conversation that Brian and I were having, he said, "I don't think Allegheny Camp would be started as it was if you wouldn't have joined the team." And I'm like, whatever, you know? But it did confirm in my heart that, yes, God did talk to me and lead me to Allegheny Camp and getting a new camp started. And hearing that confirmed that, hey, I don't have to be male. I don't have to be in a leadership role to start something. And so, yeah, I just want to leave that with you, that what you do, whether it's typing, answering phones, cooking meals, taking care of your children, supporting your husband, whatever it is, you're making a difference in the kingdom. And the ministry that you're involved in could not do what it's doing without you doing your job. And so keep that vision alive. And, yeah, find ways to keep that vision alive. And God bless you in what you're doing.
Thank you very much, Lloyd. I really enjoyed it. And I really appreciated the emphasis at the beginning that you put on prayer, because we really need God to help us in our ministry.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.